Hey.
Okay, yeah, we can take that back. Well, great to see you guys this morning. And I just want to thank those guys again. Now, I'm going to echo what Joe said at the beginning. Thank the guys who were able to show up and help us take care of what was taken care of out on the field, on the building site, really. It was, for me, it was traumatizing. At 60 years old, I don't move that well anymore. But I was blessed to have somebody I could focus on to cheer me on. A brother who's 5 years older than me was out there working just as hard. And I was able to keep, you know, focused on a type of Christ, you know. It's great. It's great. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Start reading at verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. And they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now when they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all of the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land and where you sent us, and it truly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, sometimes in a difficult time, it's good to know that there's somebody that's going to come alongside of you and tell you you can do it. When everybody else is telling you it's impossible to be done, you can't do it, it's really encouraging to have somebody get beside you and say, "Don't you worry, you can do exactly what God told you you can do." Right? We need that sometimes, don't we? I don't know about you, but I've been ministering and in leadership for over 25 years, and I'm going to tell you something. There are times when you begin to doubt yourself, but somehow, sometimes along the way, God sends somebody, and they get beside you, and they say, "I see your head is weighed down, but I'm here to lift up your arms, because you can take what God has promised that you can take." Somebody needs to hear that this morning, because you've been thinking it's an impossibility for you. And you've been thinking that it can't be done, and people have been telling you it can't be done. Well, I'm here to put that devil of debt to bed. It can't be done because the Bible tells us that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You can conquer the thing that you're facing. Amen? Okay. And it goes on to say, somebody help me. Where did I leave off at? No, you don't know. You're not following me. Verse 30. And it says, "Then Caleb quieted the people and said, and Moses said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land in which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. I'm going to speak from this topic this morning. You are not a grasshopper. You are not a grasshopper. Now let's pray. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would help me to declare your goodness and to declare your mercy and to declare your promises to your people and to help us get to where you want us to be in life and to get to where you want purpose for us to do and the things that you've called us to take hold of. And I just ask you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm learning throughout my years of walking with God, and I've been learning that a lot of times we cannot go any further than what we're thinking, than the mind that we have. We can't progress to where we need to get to with a certain type of thinking. And what is in your head will ultimately determine how far you can go. If you think it's impossible, then you will never take the journey. You will never start the journey or begin to do what God wants you to do because you immediately have an attitude or a mindset that is defeated. So I believe God works in our minds in a way the Apostle Paul said. He works in our minds to renew our minds. He says, I'm going to renew your minds. The transformation of your life and of your body starts with the transformation of your mind and the way you think. And if God can get a hold of the way you think, then he can get a hold of everything that you do. And I think that's the same case. The enemy realizes that too, that if he can keep you in a limited place of thinking, then he can keep you in a limited place of productivity for the kingdom. If he can keep you in a place that's is just caged in, then he will stop you doing anything that God wants you to do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so I believe that God wants us to begin by his works. He works. How many of you know he works overtime in our lives? He works overtime to get us to get to a point where we understand his sovereignty. That's a good word, sovereignty, because it actually means his supreme authority, his supreme power. That he works overtime to get us to a place where we understand that the devil just can't do what he wants to do with us, and that there is going to come a time when our flesh will have to submit to him. If we really love him, our flesh will submit to him. Sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes it's a battle. And I don't, for me personally, it's a battle. Some of you, you're spiritual. You got it all together and you don't have a problem. You don't have a struggle. But for me, sometimes it's a real battle. And I have to get before God and say, God, I pray that you would deal with the thoughts in my mind so that you would deal with the actions of my life. If you can deal with my mind and get my mind on track with you, then my life is automatically going to follow suit. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And I think the transforming part that God wants to do in us is that transforming of our minds. Because when we were children, how many of you remember the times when you were children? For me, that's a long time ago. But brother, if you can remember, then I should remember. Yeah. See, we remember when we were children and we did certain things in a playground with all the rest of the children, Brother Jeremy, and we would do certain things, say certain things, and if certain things didn't happen, if we didn't agree, if things didn't happen the way we wanted, we would say things like, I'll take my ball and I'll go play somewhere else. I'll do something else because you're just not thinking like I'm thinking. But I am so thankful that God is not like a child. Even though we don't think at times the way he wants us to think, we sang these songs this morning, he never gives us. He's always working overtime to get us to a place where we'll conform to his will and begin to do what he wants us to do. Can somebody shout amen in this place? I believe that's what he wants to do. And so he works through his sovereignty to get us to that place. And Paul said, I have learned in order to grow. I've learned in whatever state I am. Let me just read to you from Philippians chapter 4. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have been instructed, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God has to take us through a process where we experience, listen, limitations, and we find out that those limitations cannot stop God from working through us. I have learned how to abound, you see. Even sometimes when things are good for us, that can be a hindrance to us working for God because we take our eyes off of God and get our eyes on the things. But even that, God has to teach us that can't stop us from fulfilling his will. will if our eyes are on him. I have learned how to abound, and I have learned how to be abased. And sometimes we say, oh, if I had this, or if I had that, if I had more of this, if I had more of that, then I can fulfill the will of God. Let me tell you something. All you need is Jesus. You don't need any more than him. He is sufficient in himself. He is complete and in himself. And the Bible says, because he is complete and we are in him, we are also complete in him. And so we don't need anything else. We have everything we need in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Somebody shout. And then, oh, I've got to calm down. I got to calm down. I'm getting too excited here. So we see it. And so Paul also says, what does he want me to learn through it? Through this process of teaching us the limitations and the extremes, what does he want me to learn? This is what he says in Ephesians 3. For this cause, don't turn, but I'll read it to you. For this cause, I bow to my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might and power on the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, that's glorious right there. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, part of the process is he'll take us to those places that seem to get to where we think the end of God's ability is. We think in our minds that I can't take anymore. This is just too much for me. I can't handle it anymore. Are you hearing me, Brother Jeremy? It takes me right to the end, and we think we can't hear anymore, deal with anymore, yet, because it's God who's doing the process, we can take much more. And he takes us, and Paul says, he can give to us, for us together, to experience it together, what is the height and the width. He wants us to experience that even though we know God is inexhaustible, we know he doesn't end, have no end, he has no beginning, and we know all of that, but yet sometimes in our experiences, it feels like that. It feels like I can't make it, it's too much, it's too hard, but that he takes us to what we would think the limitation is, and then he shows us it's, oh God, he's got more than you need, more than enough to get past the situation. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, I'm going to encourage somebody in this place this morning. I want to tell you, and I'm going to prophesy to you right now that you've got enough. You're not limited. You are somebody. You are significant, and God has a plan, and he's going to fulfill the plan for your life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so we know he's inexhaustible. And the process involves us experiencing some things in our lives that help us to understand that. We know that he's a healer. See, we have to experience. We know he's a healer, but we know it even more when he heals us. Yeah. We know he's a powerful, all-powerful. We know it even more when he demonstrates that power through us. Yeah. Yeah, we know he's a provider, but when you're in the last of all you have and you have nothing else, you don't have a one red penny or pence or penny. One red pence or one red penny. When you don't have any of those left and suddenly God provides, you know he's a provider. You have the experience. It's not just some words, but those words come off of the book into your life and it becomes real to you. Are you hearing me? And sometimes we need to know that. We need to know that. I that's why I like to talk and deal with people who have been through some stuff and know what it is to come through a struggle. Because I don't want nobody coming to me and talking to me about a theory. What's that going to do for me? An untried, untested theory. It's just a theory. But when I know somebody has been through some stuff and they have been found to be having their faith made as pure gold and they have come through the struggle, beloved, I need that kind of encouragement from people who are not speaking death to me, but they're speaking life to me and telling me, yes, you can overcome it. You can get through it. You can be. You can do it because the one who is greater is in you. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I'm preaching to myself. I don't know about y'all this morning, but I need to hear this for me. Because sometimes in my own mind, I know that people think, oh, Brother Vince, he must have got out of the shower this morning and the angels picked him up and just carried him along. And they sat him down on the bed and dried him off and dusted him, put his cologne on for him. The angels gathered and trimmed his beard. They didn't dye it this morning, though. Trimmed his beard and everything. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some mornings I don't want to get out of the bed. There's some mornings I want to stay in the bed. I don't want to move. And I'm going to tell you something. Yet, even in the middle of that thing, God is able to pick you up and move you forward. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Part of the process is a special surgery that God has to produce on us. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. There's a surgery that God has to perform on us to help us in the process of changing our mindset, changing the way we think. And it's Hebrews chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. It says in verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. What we have in our minds, we have a constant battle between soul, your flesh, and spirit. And see what the word does, because I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, because there's this battle, we can try and attempt to do spiritual things influenced by our flesh, by the soul. There's influence taking place sometimes in the spiritual realm by the flesh that's influencing it. Mm-hmm. And see, the only way you can separate that is by his word. Yeah. See, the word divides soul, spirit. Can I help you out here? Can I help myself and help you? Because you're a triune being. Your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit receives from God. Your soul won't receive from God. Your natural man can't receive from God. The Bible says that they're at enmity with God. But your spirit receives from God, the word sown into your spirit, and it is your spirit that talks to your soul and gets your soul or your will to conform to God. And then when your soul is conforming, he speaks to your body and your actions line up accordingly. You can see that battle now, can't you? And you see the fight that we're talking about inside your head. Inside your head, there's this fight that goes on, and you're, I want to tell him what for. But I can't do that because that wouldn't be the love of God. Oh, she gets on my nerve. Who she thinks she is with those pretty red shoes? She comes satin herself in here. But your spirit says, I love people. See, there's this battle going on, and the word has to come and divide that. See, sometimes you think you're doing right, and you think you're doing God's will, and it hasn't been divided. The word hasn't sliced it. You haven't been sliced and diced. We have to be. Because I'm going to tell you something. God wants, he is preparing us for something. And beloved, if there's partiality in us and a preference of our will and our preferences and our desires, if it's that in our hearts, then we'll never make the righteous decision. We'll always make what the decision that best suits us. But God's trying to separate stuff in our head so that everything we do, everything we say, it has to do with being righteous in the will of God and what he wants for our life and for the benefit of other people.
I
won't do that. I won't bother you today, Millie. Come on. We're going to be good today. For those of you who are visiting, I pick on my wife a lot. But I promised her I would never pick on her again for a while. Just for a while. We are not out of the process yet. He needs to separate the way we think with the way he thinks, so there can be correct action. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And it goes on. We often quote that verse, but we never look at the second part of that verse. And it says, "Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Now, we know obviously that can mean dealing with people, but it also so means dealing with yourself. That you can be deceptive to yourself. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell yourself, well, I'm with it. Bring it my way. I'm ready. And as soon as the challenge comes to you and presents itself to you, you shrink back at the challenge. Amen. How many of you know we are not supposed to be in retreat? We're supposed to be on the offensive. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That was not a defensive statement. That was an offensive statement. He is saying that the gates of hell will retreat from the onslaught. Who said that? Oh, anyway. The onslaught. That the gates of hell will retreat from the onslaught of the enemy. I mean, of us, of the church of Jesus Christ. So what God's trying to get us to see is that he's trying to put something in us, do something in us, so that we'll quit shrinking back at the first sign of a challenge, at the first sign of struggle. You know, we often, when trouble comes, what do? We pick up the phone and we call everybody, don't we? Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I just don't know. And we should not be picking up the phone at that point. We used to have a song. I grew up in a church and we had this song called Jesus on the Main Line. Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. Oh, Jesus on the Main Line, tell him what you want. Okay, there you go. And that's what we have to do. Our first step should be to call up God and say, God, look, you know what, beloved, it's not a surprise to him. No. He's not surprised by anything. God has something built into the whole process so that you can overcome. Because God, isn't that true? Amen. Didn't the Bible say that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world? He knew we were going to sin. He knew Adam and Eve were going to fall. Yet he had something working in the background ready for when the situation came. And so he's trying to get us to see sometimes we feel defeated. We feel it's not going to happen. But beloved, something he has already planned for is working in the background for your benefit. That's what I love about God too. You know, we only see what we can see. Yeah. And you go to these plays sometime and you get to the play. There's all this elaborate stage settings, beautiful, and the play's going on, Les Miserables, stuff. I can't even remember the song. What's the song? I can't get it. And we see all of the beauty of what's taking place, but yet we have no idea of what's taking place behind the scene and what's being prepared. It's the same thing in your life. Okay. So, sometimes even in our past, we can be conditioned by the stuff in our past. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So life tends to train us to get us to think a certain way about ourselves. So, because if he can see the enemy, he can't control you, but he manipulate the situations around you to get you to be, and he train you to be like he wants you to be. See, the person that sits next to you in your desk at your job is not just there just to be an irritant to you. The person's trying to do his part in training you. Because if he can get you to act a certain way, to think a certain way, then he has solved, or he has completed his whole purpose and plan for your life. But you have got to say, there's something bigger in me than this stuff that's around me.
Amen.
And I cannot let that determine or make me make decisions that are not according to the will and plan of God.
Amen.
If he can get you to make these crazy decisions, I tell you what, I made some crazy decisions in my life. Can I just be truthful with you right now? Many years ago, I gave my life to Jesus. And the night I got saved, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I left that point of that situation, and I went to one of my druggy friends' house down in, I was at Aria of Greenham Common, and I went to one of my druggy friends' house, and I said, yeah, I went there, and I said, I'm going to lead these boys. I went all around the dormitory. I was the dorm manager. I went all around the dormitory telling everybody, Jesus is real. He's alive. Slamming and knocking on the doors and telling everybody, you need Jesus. You must be saved. And God's got something for you. I was preaching like a crazy man. And then I left that and went downtown to one of my druggy friends' house, and I'm going to convert him. And I end up getting involved in use of cocaine that night. Just gave my life to Jesus. And I left that place, and the very next morning, they called me to do a urinalysis. And y'all know, military folks, they call you to do a urinalysis, and you've been involved in that stuff, you're done. It's over. I left that particular situation, and I came, and I did the test, and I came all the way back home, and I said to Lisa, I messed up. And I wasn't hurt because I got caught. I was hurt because of what I said to all of these people. And I thought these guys are going to think Jesus is not real now. They're going to think I don't know what I'm talking about. I felt so demoralized and hurt. Not because, listen, I'm going to emphasize that. Not because I was caught, but because of what I said about Jesus that now would no longer be valid as far as these people are concerned. Well, let me tell you something. We prayed sitting in our living room. You know, my Lily, I'm sorry, I got to pick on you a little bit. My Lily said, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
No, let me take that back. It's going to be all right. We prayed. The peace of God came in that place. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And I said, God, I'll take whatever you send my way. Whatever you send my way, I'll take the consequences. But guess what? I retired with 21 years in the United States military. And I'm not saying you can do stuff like that and get away with it. But what I am saying is God has a plan. He's got stuff behind the scenes that you don't know nothing about. Glory be to God. Now, let me, in Numbers 13, we're going to get there. I'm going to close really quickly. Not going to be long. They had multiple miracles. These guys were facing the situation, had multiple miracles, which God had confirmed in Numbers 14:11. You can read that later. And when God, I believe that, when God has a potential for a new blessing, a new level of operation for you, he always puts it behind the trouble or the challenge that you have to face. In other words, he's not going to let you just get there because there is a process that he's trying to bring you through to get you to a place of reigning with Christ. The Bible says if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And so we've got to go through some stuff to get to where he is to do what he wants us to do. And so he always puts our stuff behind the challenge. And now you see them, you had a mixture of responses that came to them. First of all, you have Caleb and Joshua. They're saying, we can do it. And then you have the other 10 saying, man, them guys too big. We can't mess with them. But I want you to understand that is reminiscent of two things. There is the voice, and they're facing it. They face these giants, and they seem loud, and they seem big. And that same spirit was on those 10. They seem loud. They make the biggest noise. We can't do anything. And there's only two men. It seems like they're overwhelmed in size and number and the same situation that they were facing. Now they're back and they're facing it amongst their people. 10 people saying, no, you can't do it. And the two guys saying, you can't. It's almost like this big voice of the enemy and the still small voice that you hear from God. And God wants you to know that if you listen to the still small voice, now I'm telling you, if you keep holding on to what he's saying to you, he's going to take you through what you're facing. And it's always behind this big blessing. They're saying, no, we can't get through it. You can't do it. It's an impossible, so loud, that voice. And the Bible says that they were the sons of Anak. They were a Nephilim. These big, these giants, right? And you probably don't know any about them, but if I mentioned to you about their relative, you would know. One named Goliath. He's a big, huge guy. Yeah? See, and David showed us how to deal with this type of perspective here. Yeah, David showed us. See, David said, you come at me with sticks and your gods, but I come at you with the name that is above all names. And so, what is it that the enemy, I wish I had more time, but I'm going to have to hurry up. Ooh, help me, Lord. So what they face this situation, and they come to this valley of Eshcol. The valley of Eshcol is the place where it says it's a large bunch of grapes right there. It means a large. And in fact, the bunch of grapes were so huge, it took two men to carry one bunch. One cluster of grapes, it took two men to carry. And so what God is trying to say to us is that if you will press through, what I have for you on the other side is more than enough. So much so, you're going to need help to gather it. So much so, a large cluster of grapes. So what's so important about this person named, this valley called Eshcol, is because it's named after a person. It's named after a man of the same name called Eshcol, who had made a covenant with Abraham. Oh boy. See, Eshcol made a covenant with Abraham, and what God is trying to get us to see, the grapes, the next level, the blessing, whatever it is he has for you, whatever it is he wants to give to you, has to be partnered with faith. Because the Bible tells us Abraham is the father of our faith. And Abraham's faith believed for something bigger than him. Glory be to God. Bigger than him, more than him. And beloved, that's what God is always bringing us to. He's not bringing us to something that's just going to satisfy or meet the need. God wants to take us to a place of a land that's flowing with milk and honey. A land that flows with more than what you need. A land that is full of the blessing of God. Were you talking about money? No, I'm talking about Jesus. He wants to take us to a place where Jesus is the absolute supreme and fullness of your life. Are you here? Okay, I'm going to close. I'm going to be done. Can I get you to go? One last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, God has to take us through these processes so he can get us to take our eyes off of how big the enemy, because he tries to make himself look big. And y'all ever notice cats? We have 3 cats. You can learn a lot from cats. Because we had a cat called Jake who passed away last year. And Jake was a big Persian cat. He's a big dude. And he was the bouncer of the community. And he was also the local cat evangelist. He used to speak, and all the cats used to sit around and listen to him. Serious. Wherever Jake went, the rest of the cats followed. But I noticed Jake, this big dog, what was it? I want to say, it was some kind of bull terrier dog. big looking, rough looking, mean dog, got out of its yard and came into our yard, into our garden. And Jake was standing at the fence, kind of like at the threshold. And Jake swole up like that. And the dog ran. Although the dog could probably destroy Jake. I'm just saying the dog could probably destroy Jake, but he ran. Because Jake, you know, puffed himself up. And he looked bigger than he actually was. I think some of y'all get the picture. Because see, that's what the enemy does. But we have to take our eyes off of that. This is what we have to do. Verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is what, but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Can you just say in your head right now, that challenge you're facing is temporary? While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, you know, the stuff behind the scenes, the curtains, they're eternal. That's the stuff that God's going to put in your life that's going to last forever. Mm-hmm. So when people or any situation tries to dictate to you and tell you you're insignificant, tell you you look like a grasshopper. You tell them, I'm not a grasshopper. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness, Father. I thank you for your mercy. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you